I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about an effort to create palm oil without burning down millions of acres of forest, the surprising way polyglots' brains approach their own native language, and new research on how the powerful psychedelic drug ayahuasca extinguishes fear.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity. If you were to scan the ingredients list on lots of food in your pantry, everything from bread to instant noodles to ice cream to cookies, I don't know why you've got ice cream in your pantry. That's a question for another time. But anyways, probably find... Really, Nate? Fair enough. You might find that many of them have at least one thing in common, and that's palm oil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as I understand it, that's... It's not a great thing to have in common. Like, isn't that palm oil leading to some pretty major environmental problems?
Ooh, it absolutely is. Palm oil comes from the reddish pulp of the fruit of the oil palm tree. So to get a ton of palm oil, you need a ton of palm trees. That drive for more has led to the creation of massive palm oil plantations. And one popular way to build out those operations is to simply burn or cut down forests and rainforests.
So it's a bit like the drive to produce more cattle grazing land. Like, the space they need is there. It's just underneath some of the world's most biodiverse forests.
Yeah, that not only means that you lose the CO2 absorbing superpower of forests, but wildlife like orangutans, tigers, and rhinos lose their habitats.
So the palm oil plantations lead to higher CO2 emissions and to the loss of habitat. So why are we using so much palm oil?
Well, that's the thing. It's actually a pretty nifty little ingredient. It's really versatile. At room temperature, it's a semi-solid, which means it can keep things like chocolate spreads spreadable. It resists oxidation, which means it has a longer shelf life. It's stable at high temperatures, so it's great for frying. And it's odorless and colorless, so it sort of does its work without any fuss.
Okay, I guess I see why it's so sought after, but how do we mitigate that environmental impact? Like, is that even possible?
And that is a great question, because there are a handful of startups asking the same exact thing, and the answer could be yes. So companies with names like Xylome, C16 Biosciences, and Clean Food Group have figured out how to create viable lab-created alternatives to palm oil.
Okay, but anything lab-made or factory-produced is going to get some pushback, right? Like, I thought we weren't supposed to be eating so much synthetic ultra-processed stuff, right?
Well, yeah, but that's the cool thing about this. Their alternatives are produced by fermentation. So they are only considered processed in the way something like beer or sauerkraut is considered processed.
Okay, well, that's super cool. How does it work?
Well, the oil is produced by overfeeding yeast with sugar. The yeast gobbles up all that excess sugar and turns it into an almost entirely oil-filled ball.
That's like me around the holidays.
That is a... viscerally vivid image, but I don't... Okay, moving on. But they can use these little fat oil-filled balls in place of the palm oil, and it's a really solid dupe. Plus, you can feed the yeast with food waste.
Whoa. Okay, so a relatively natural alternative to an environmentally destructive oil. Where do I get some?
That's our favorite thing to say. Not so fast. There are a couple of challenges. First, they need regulatory approval to use it in food. That's the big one. They think that approval could be on the horizon, but once they get that, they need to figure out how to produce it at scale. It will take massive factories, maybe even old beer breweries. But if they can overcome those hurdles, this process could also lead to alternatives for other things like fish oil and shea butter, and could enhance the quality of other foods like alternative cheeses.
That really shows how tech can work with nature to dream up solutions to some of the bigger problems we're facing.
Oh, totally. You could reduce the environmental impact of palm oil without compromising on product quality or availability. So, you know, I'm kind of all for it.
A new study is shedding some light on the inner workings of polyglots.
Polyglots, those are people who speak more than one language, right?
Even better than that, polyglots speak many languages. I mean, the actual definition varies, but generally, if you are fluent in four or more languages, you are considered a polyglot.
Okay, can we just take a second to think how amazing it is that there are people in this world who can speak so many languages?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the participants of this study are proof of that. So the researchers wanted to explore what was going on in the brains of these polyglots, and specifically, they wanted to see if there was any difference in the brain response to the different languages they spoke, especially their native language.
Okay, so that is interesting. So the question is, do their brains treat each language differently?
Yes, and if so, how? They recruited 34 polyglots, some of them proficient in at least five languages, although one of them spoke a whopping 54 languages.
Holy crap. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the complex beauty of the brain, but speaking 54 languages is kind of mind-boggling.
Right? And none of these polyglots were multilingual from birth. In other words, they only spoke their native language until later in life, and that is key to this study. So the participants underwent fMRI scans while listening to passages in eight different languages. Some were languages they were highly fluent in, and some of the languages they spoke fairly well, and then there were ones where they, like, knew, but they weren't highly proficient in.
So they could see how the brain handled each level of proficiency differently?
Right. They even played four different clips from languages they didn't know. Two of those were from languages that were similar to other languages that they did know, and two were just totally foreign to them.
Okay. So how did their brains handle all of this?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. The brain's language network was most activated by languages they were most proficient in. But here's the twist. When they listened to their native language, those language networks dipped in activity significantly.
Okay, wait. So brain activity was high when it was a language they were really good at, but activity dipped for the one language they knew the absolute best. So what's going on here?
Well, think about it like a computer processing information. And the language you're born speaking is like the language the operating system runs on. You just don't need all that much processing power to run it.
Sure, your mind was built with that language. So trying to run other languages would require more power.
Right. The study sheds a light on the brain's adaptive mechanisms for language processes and shines a spotlight on the special status of native languages, at least in terms of cognitive effort.
So I know we've talked a lot about the astonishing mechanisms behind our ability to learn language, even as early as when we're in the womb. But what are the next steps of a study like this?
Great question. The team wants to turn their attention to polyglots who learned multiple languages from a young age, as well as those who began speaking one language, but then shifted to a new dominant language later in life.
Got it. So let's say you move from your native country as a child and adopt the language of the new country. Your native language is the one you were born with, but your dominant language came later. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. The question will be whether the processing power changes when your dominant language does too. But the underlying takeaway is that no matter what, our native language inhabits a pretty special and unique place in the complex structure of our minds.
I think this is the time to tell you that I am a native English speaker. I am fluent in Pig Latin, and I'm pretty sure I am good at sarcasm, so I am pretty close to being a polyglot.
Wow.
I knew you'd be impressed.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The research on the effects and possible benefits of psychedelic medicines has been piling up recently. We've talked a lot about it on this show.
Yeah, there are studies on the potential for treating all kinds of things, from anxiety and depressive disorders to post-traumatic stress disorder. There's even an attempt to refine the language of the psychedelic experience. Sometimes it seems the only thing we don't really know yet is how this stuff works.
And I am glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what researchers are trying to figure out in a new study on ayahuasca.
Okay, so I've heard of ayahuasca, but I'll be honest, I'm not totally sure how it's different from other psychoactive drugs like LSD or psilocybin. Isn't it sort of just a version of those?
At the most basic level, sure. Ayahuasca is a psychedelic that can cause altered states of consciousness, hallucinations, out-of-body experiences, euphoria, and intense emotional experiences. But each of those three drugs affect at least slightly different aspects of the mind, are structurally different, and come in different forms.
Right. LSD is absorbed on the skin or in the mouth, as I understand it, and psilocybin comes from mushrooms. But where does ayahuasca come from?
Well, it's actually tea. It's a plant-based brew traditionally used by indigenous populations in South America. Because of its intense effects, it's often used for religious ceremonies. But one specific effect that inspired a research team to dig deeper is called fear extinction.
And that is?
Fear memory extinction is actually a critical process for the treatment of anxiety and trauma-related disorders like PTSD. It basically is a way to diminish the learned fear response to specific events, actions, or memories.
So a past trauma only triggers PTSD if the fear response lingers in a way that is harmful or excessive. So if you can lessen or get rid of that fear, then the memory won't bother you as much?
That's basically the gist of it, yeah. So there have been a ton of anecdotal evidence that ayahuasca had some effect on fear memory extinction, but there has been little formal research on it. So the team wanted to know two things. Does ayahuasca help with fear memory extinction? And if so, how?
So ayahuasca isn't legal to take, right? So how do you conduct a study like this with an illegal substance?
With rats.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. So the researchers used something called contextual fear conditioning to induce fear memories in over 300 rats and measured fear extinction through the reduction of fear response.
So what does that mean?
Basically, they created a memory in the rats that made them afraid and then studied their reactions to being reminded of that scary thing. So let's say at first the rat faced with the fear memory becomes frozen with fear. But eventually, as that fear memory becomes extinct, the rat begins to function normally even when faced with that fear.
Got it. So I guess then they treated some of them with ayahuasca?
Yep, and the results were pretty significant. Ayahuasca helped out with the extinction of both recent and remote fear memories without inducing anxiety or affecting other behaviors.
So it basically helped the rats face their fears, but how?
They also investigated neural mechanisms and found that the ayahuasca activated serotonin receptors in the infralimbic cortex. All of that is to say that they think the drug may modulate the balance between excitation and inhibition in the brain, which...
somehow moves along the fear extinction process?
That's right. And it's pretty exciting because it's among the first studies that shows the potential for ayahuasca as a therapy for anxiety and trauma-related conditions, specifically by helping our brains get rid of the fear that causes those conditions.
So is this something that can be tested on humans soon?
Well, some of the changes in the drug classification of ayahuasca would have to happen first, but future research in the lab will focus on more severe and widespread fear memories. Studies that suggest positive therapies for hard-to-treat disorders could certainly move those legal issues along.
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up.
Startups are fermenting yeast into a palm oil alternative, aiming to halt deforestation and protect biodiversity without sacrificing the creamy texture in our favorite foods and cosmetics.
Polyglots, or people who speak four or more languages, process their native language with significantly less effort than the other languages they speak.
Ayahuasca, a traditional psychoactive brew, significantly aids in the extinction of fear memories in rats by targeting specific serotonin receptors in the brain, illuminating a promising path for treating anxiety and trauma-related disorders.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.